SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell. Coast to coast.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed of Brooklyn, a bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags to wreck in traffic, some kind of fashion shakeup, Shadoobie, along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, fresh off the Irish Cape Cod Open and back in the saddle again. It's Carver High, ladies. Mafia running it with Luke. I am your father. The rundown on a misery Monday. We got Cody Decker from Mad Dog Radio talking World Series. Plus, in the final hour, Matt Mershell, our national college football analyst from the Orlando Sentinel. And in the last hour, Coach James Young talking pro rack. We're going to talk about the men for once. Honestly, for Christ's sakes, I've been talking about women's hoops for so long, I'm turning into a woman. Honest to God, Carver High, don't get me started talking about, you know, the one thing, oh my God, the other day, they were talking about the WNBA 5 days after it ended. It ended on a Sunday, and we were doing it on Thursday, or Friday, and the stupid parade was Thursday. They were still talking about it. I wanted to kill myself. You can quote me on that, too. I don't care. I'm done being nice. I am done being nice. Nice is over. But good to see you. How'd you do? Did you win the green jacket?
You would have heard about it if I won the green jacket. No, no green jacket this year. No trophy. Played all right. I played about as well as you could play for how little I get to play throughout the year. So, but I did all right. I had fun. A lot of heavy lifting with the arm in terms of the beverages. A lot of beverages.
We had an over-under of 79 cans of Bud Light after Friday's round.
Friday was tough.
Thursday, was it Friday, Saturday, Sunday? It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, three rounds of golf. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, championships.
Friday, we had an over-under of 79 cans.
Friday was a long day leading into the Yankee game. That was a very, very long afternoon into night. I lost track of a lot of things on Friday, but we were able to finish the job on Saturday, and then the blast home, the express Sunday morning. I was out of there 6:25 a.m. on the road, flying through Connecticut, home before kickoff for the NFL at 1 o'clock East, well before. So we were in good shape here on Sunday, and we're ready to rock. A new week, a new Monday on C2C. I haven't talked to you. Actually, you haven't been on either since these two games. We have a game three tonight in the boogie down for the Yankees and the Dodgers, Scotty, to get us going here today. And let me tell you that I thought, look, it's hard to say, you know, they're dead. I think it's very tough to think they're going to beat the Dodgers four out of the next five games. Tonight is obviously as must win as it ever gets when you talk about a playoff game. But I still go back to, man, they blew that game on Friday night. That was the game that they had to have in L.A., and they just didn't get it done.
It made me sick to my stomach. I literally never recovered from it. Like, I just haven't still. I couldn't fathom what I was watching, that they took the lead, and then this guy puts in a guy that hasn't pitched in 2 months. Like, I was like, are you effing kidding me that he put in a guy that hasn't pitched in 2 months? Not only that, his elbow's fried. The guy is, he admitted, he goes, I'd rather die than not pitch in the World Series. So that's the guy you're going to put in to face Freddie Freeman, who tees off on lefties, and you put him in? I mean, honestly, he'll never live it down. Like, honestly, would you have not put Hill in or somebody that has been pitching every single day? than some guy that hasn't pitched in 2 months that has a blown out elbow? Like, he asked for this. It's like he's on the take for the Dodgers. Like, he was like, I couldn't believe what I was watching, and it made me so sick to my stomach that it ruined my weekend. And then it only got worse from there. You know, you knew, I did, that once they lost on a grand slam, they were going to lose Saturday, too. Sure enough, they not only did they lose, they had the bases loaded in the ninth and blew that opportunity as well. Like, so, I mean, they look like absolute shack. And I got to say one last thing. Let's just get it out of the way. Most people, I guess, even myself, I'm afraid to say this due to how talented he is. But I have never seen a superstar play so horribly as Aaron Judge in my life. Like, in my life, I have never seen anyone that good be that bad. He is an absolute automatic out. He is he is missing pitches by 2 feet. He is, and listen, I am telling you, Reggie Jackson never played like that ever. Not once ever. And this guy sucks. Absolutely monkey onions in the postseason. I have never seen anything like that. And I'm afraid to say it because he could come out tonight and hit 3 home runs and drive in 9 runs. But I don't see it because he is so off and slumping so badly. He's killing the Yankees. Killing them.
They have obviously gotten absolute zero from him. We got the numbers later. His postseason career, he's now under 200. And he has struck out a billion times in the postseason, including the other night. And I know the ninth inning was tough, but what killed them Saturday night was after the Soto home run, they didn't like touch the ball for until the ninth. Like they just, it was so boring and lifeless to watch them just go out there, 3 up, 3 down, 3 up, 3 down, weak ground ball the second, weak ground ball the first. All right, I'm up and down. It was so lifeless from everyone at 5 through 9 when they're doing nothing. Man, the Yankees are a lifeless club. And look, you know, they're down 2-0. They got to win tonight. I've seen it all. Cheer up for Judge. Get Judge. Don't boo Judge tonight. Get him out there. Get him going. Pump him up. First at bat. He better do something these next 3 days to help the Yankees. And I'll tell you, if they got any chance in this series, and I heard all the ghost stuff, the last 2 times the Yankees and Dodgers played in the World Series, the team went up 2-0, lost the series. That was a long time ago, and that wasn't these teams that we're dealing with here today. Yankees got to win all 3 games at Yankee Stadium to have any shot to win this series, any shot.
Oh, I think that's without a doubt, without saying. I mean, it's honest to Christ, if they lose tonight, I don't know, I may not be here tomorrow, honestly.
Well, the good thing is,
I may drive over to the George Washington Bridge and finally do it. Mavi has seen me do it before when the Penguins lost in the playoffs. I was literally dangling from the side.
The good news is for you, if, and I hope that this doesn't happen because I want the Yankees to win tonight, obviously, but if things are going bad in the Bronx, at least you can go and turn your attention to the place the Steelers play, because maybe they'll be beating up on the Giants for Monday Night Football to finish out week number 8. So you do have that going for you tonight on the one side.
For me, and that makes me horny. I am literally horny. Although I will say, the guy that I sold the tickets to, if I don't get my money by like Wednesday, I'm going to have his legs broken. I mean, like, I give him the Jets and Giants tickets. He didn't give me my money. I want my money. I want my mother, Pharrellin, money. And I know you're watching. I want my money.
Got to pay. You got to pay up. You get the ducats. You got to pay if you're going to go to the game.
How about this? Nice loss by the Ravens yesterday to the Browns. Thank you for that nice one-game lead in the AFC North. Make it 2 games tonight.
We will come back after the break, and we will start to get into all the action from Sunday. Man, some crazy finishes. The Ravens lose in Cleveland. You had that wild Jaden Daniels Hail Mary, which we'll start with. Lots of stuff to cover. And we got all the college from the weekend. Let's not forget that. The U is still undefeated. My Indiana is still undefeated. A lot of good stuff going on in college football.
How did Navy do against Notre Dame? How'd that feel?
Not a good scene. Not a good scene for Navy at MetLife on Saturday. Smash job by the Irish. Smash job.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's talk about the NFL. I guess we'll get Morency back from his stupor on Tuesday because he was in L.A. sitting in the bleachers when Freddie Freeman hit that grand slam. Then he went to Seattle and watched the Bills kick the Seahawks' ass. And I saw him in those seats hammered, and now there's no sign of him. So hopefully we'll get him back tomorrow in one piece. We only hope for safe passage. For Morency, that's all I'm saying. We need safe passage. As far as anyone else, we don't care about them.
Yeah, he had quite the weekend, as I saw a lot of his posts on social media as he was going throughout it. I don't know if he was walking back from Seattle to Vancouver. He just, after the game last night, just started trying to get his way back across the border. Who knows? But he'll be back with you tomorrow here on C2C. All right, let's start today by going through all this NFL from Sunday, pain day in the league. And we'll do later World Series, of course, Steelers, Giants tonight. Lots of NBA rack tonight. It is, and this is as overplayed as it gets in our industry today, the sports equinox today, Scotty. One of those rare times, only happens once or twice a year, where you get all four of the major North American sports playing on the same night, MLB, NFL, NHL, NBA. All have games tonight. The sports equinox, as they love to call it, throughout the day. All right. Washington beat the Bears 18-15. Of course, this was the matchup. First of all, I thought that Daniels wasn't going to play. Then all of a sudden on Sunday morning, Jane Daniels is fine, and he goes out. And what did he do, this guy? 21 for 38 for 378 total yards and a touchdown in this win for Washington. Caleb Williams, 10 for 24, 172, and none. Before you tell me what you thought of those two guys, this was obviously the big play. End of the game, Washington down after the Bears had just taken the lead, and Jaden Daniels, Hail Mary to Noah Brown. Listen to these guys, Scotty, on the Washington radio call. Here we go.
Four of them at the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires, heads towards the end zone.
It is
there you go. Very, very exciting for all of them as they were dry humping each other's legs in the booth. So anyway, that was just a butchered play by the Bears. And I think all the blame goes to 29 Stevenson. Is that his name? How about this loser standing over on the sideline in the middle of the play, taunting the fans in Washington, not even aware that the play was happening, never once aware that the pass was being made. And then at the last second, he's the numbskull that batted it in the air right into Brown's hands. If I were them, I'd cut his ass. I would cut. That guy is not a professional football player. Now, all of his excuses today and apologies are just veiled thin toast. That's what that is. Like, him apologizing today was worse than him doing it. Like, are you kidding me? What, are we supposed to, like, accept your apology for that? I mean, just torturous lapse of judgment. Where in the F was this guy's head? He wasn't even, like, he was literally standing on the sideline mocking fans as the guy was throwing the ball. And then he turned around and looked and said, oh, my God, the ball's in the air. I better go screw this up some more. I mean, I would literally, can you imagine, like, Al Davis, he would have cut him today. He'd have no job. He'd be out of work. He'd be finished. In my view, he should be cut. Now, I know how nice they are, the Bears. You know, they just love everyone. So nothing's going to happen to him. He'll still start and play. Like, that guy wouldn't play for me on my team ever again. I'd get rid of him today. Done. What are you doing, bro? What are you doing? He caused the whole G-damn thing.
He did. Eberflus tried to do it himself, but then they still somehow had the lead And he screwed it up afterwards. The Bear fans are mad because Eberflus basically after was like, well, you know, we tried hard. You know, that's a tough loss. But that's a brutal loss. That is a brutal game to lose like that. It just is. You don't forget a game like
by
that.
By one game.
Right. In a division where right now everybody wins every week, right? I mean, it's just amazing. They're in one of the toughest divisions and you lose a football. They tried to blow it before that. I don't know what the hell they were doing giving the ball to the defensive lineman with 5 minutes to go on the third and goal play, and he fumbled the he didn't even get the carry. He just gave the ball to the other team. Yet they still took the lead after that and blew it. And I thought Caleb Williams played awful. And I know Daniels was supposed to play.
To be honest with you,
Williams,
they made it out to be the greatest game ever because of the Hail Mary, and it was an awful.
Wasn't a great game. Awful football game. Don't disagree with you on that one. 49ers beat the Cowboys 30-24 last night. Slow start for the 49ers, Scotty, but they eventually got it going in the second half. Purdy was finding everybody, including George Kittle on NBC.
We're into a motion. The blitz comes. Purdy gets it up. It's a touchdown for Kittle. However, the contact brings the flag.
Wisconsin.
There's no foul for offensive pass interference.
And George Kittle, on his day, gets a touchdown.
I got to tell you, I watched that game, and there were so many flags that I was, like, pulling teeth.
Every game.
Like, I was sitting there going, oh, my God, this is so boring. Like, that first half was so awful. And then the third, they scored three touchdowns. And then they still almost blew it. They let Dak Prescott throw twice to Lamb in the fourth for tutties. And then they had the ball with 3 minutes to go, and he threw four incompletions. I couldn't believe what I was watching. The refs throw flags on every single play. I mean, it is like every single effing play. I can't even take it. I really can't. You know, I don't notice this problem, to be honest with you, in college football. It's only in pro football that I see. It's every play. I mean, it's every play.
And it's every game now. Like, I thought there was about 50 flags thrown in the Bill game, too. And I know the Bills routed the Seahawks. It didn't mean as much. There was a billion penalties called in that Buffalo-Seattle game. It made no sense to me. Every time you turned around, there was another flag. What are we doing? Can we play? Ever?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All over the place. Those last 5 or 6 weeks, and got them in the playoffs, and even played well in the playoff game despite them losing to Houston. How come everyone else who drives the bus of the Cleveland Brown offense, it puts up big numbers and throws the ball everywhere, and this hack, when he's in, they look like a peewee team. Like they look like they shouldn't even be out there against an enemy. I cannot believe the colossal failure that trade is. And now look, now he's gone, you know, gone for the year, gone for whatever, maybe
gone forever.
You know, forever in Cleveland. But it is such an indictment on him that it's one thing if he's not in the lineup, they play better. The quarterback numbers are drastically better when he's not in the game. Sick. Jameis Winston's been sitting on the bench for 3 years in New Orleans and now here in Cleveland. And he gets a crack, and he goes 334 and three tutties. Like, what? Against the Ravens, who are pretty good defense.
And not like, only that, he's fantastic, too, when he does interviews because he's so bizarre. Like, he's half he's, crazy.
I know. He's nuts.
We're going to get all kinds of killer sound from him the rest of the way.
I know. Having him as the starting quarterback isn't a bad thing. So this game was pretty wild between the Browns and the Ravens. The Ravens took the lead with about 2.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter on a Derrick Henry touchdown. They were up only one, though, 24-23. The Browns drive the field, and then Jameis Winston finds Cedric Tillman for his second tutty of the game with just under a minute left to give it to Cleveland on CBS.
Winston going for it all for the end zone for Tillman. He's got it!
It was a bomb. Wow. He threw a bomb to him, and it was a breadbasket. It was a beautiful pass. Hey, no one ever said Winston couldn't throw the ball.
Nobody ever said that, that's for sure. And look, Cedric Tillman. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And there was a lot of ghosts there yesterday. I'm sure you saw over the weekend, a long time Browns play-by-play guy, Jim Donovan, passed away. Yeah. So there was it was quite a scene for the Browns there in Cleveland. They don't get many moments, and they certainly haven't had many this year, but they got one from their squad yesterday. No doubt about that. And now the Ravens are going to be, as you mentioned before, Steelers win tonight. They will be a game up on the Ravens in the AFC North as we are still, 2 weeks out from the game you're going to at the place the Steelers play. So that's going to be very interesting moving forward here for those two. Next, let's go to New England, Scotty, where the Jets, of course, have been absolutely reeling. They get themselves a chance, though, to play the Patriots, the last team that they beat, but they could not even do that. 25-22, a late Ramondre Stevenson touchdown gives the Patriots the win. After the game, the interim coach, Ulbrich, said that the Jets are in a dark place. Here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say about the dark place.
Call this a moment of darkness for this team. Is that how you see it, and how do you get out of it? I mean, because... You could just stay in darkness as well.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there, make peace with it. Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams. But if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
They're finished. Their season is over. He's washed. He's old as F, and it shows. And all we hear are the same pathetic excuses after every game and all of his national TV appearance spots on big shows, and he never does a thing in the game. I mean, they are awful. How utterly effing embarrassing. They got beat by the Patriots. I mean... You are finished. Done. Season over. There is no light, darkness. Ulbrich's fired. Aaron Rodgers' career's over. When are people going to start admitting it? I mean, he's like doing nothing. The kid was better last year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mike, they have lost 5 in a row. All this guy does is talk and do interviews, and he's always on the dais, always on the microphone, always having the presser. It is so funny to me how awful he is and how awful they are. And then I am done. I'm done listening to how much talent they have. And then today I heard they have more talent than anyone in the league, and they just can't figure out how to play together. I am so sick and tired of hearing how much talent the Jets have, because they don't. Talented teams aren't 2-6. Talented players win games. What they are is a bunch of overpaid, overpriced, overhyped bullshit players, all of them, every one of them, every one of them. And the leader of the pack is Aaron Rodgers. Tell me I'm wrong that he's finished. He's finished. He's just going to go away, go eat mushrooms, just go. It's more fun anyway, tripping, because your career's over. He doesn't win anymore. He can't move. All of his passes are dump-offs. What does he do? He can't even beat the Patriots. They had a 4.5 win total.
He is he's completely shot. Let's just put it out there. And the fact that people didn't think, some people, didn't think there was a chance going into this year that he could be completely shot after not playing at all last year because of a major injury, that he was just going to show back up at 40 years old and be the guy that was winning MVPs 5 years ago. They've got a lot of egg on their face.
They
that is just a really bad
in the Super Bowl. We sat here just hearing that they were going to win the Super Bowl.
No doubt about it. roster's too good. Too much talent.
They can't even get no doubt about it. Super Bowl, they have so little juice.
Well, instead they get this. They're the since 1940, teams were 756-0. That's a zero, as in none, when scoring 20-plus points, having zero turnovers, and holding opponents under 250 yards of total offense. Now it's 756-1. The Jets are the first team to lose under that scenario that you had since 1940, that scenario. So what a shame. And they got a quick day. They got to play Thursday night on Halloween at MetLife against the Texans. That's the first game of next week, Thursday night, Jets-Texans in the swamp.
Lost.
And that's staring another potential L right in the face on Thursday. Potential L. That's for sure. Another potential.
Just forget about potential. Just L. Loss. Loss.
No, that's a loss. 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 What? Hey.
Loss. Loss. Loss.
We said it in August. I know many others didn't, but we said Jet will always Jet.
Always.
And they have precisely. This is as. I don't think even I could have predicted it being as spectacular as this is. How they've done this year. They traded for Davante Adams.
You lose.
And you can make an argument their offense has gotten worse the last 2 weeks with him out there.
He's requesting
with Adams
a
being
trade
on the team
this afternoon. He wants to be traded to the Steelers.
What a disaster that whole entire operation is over there.
It's the best thing ever for me. Like, I just love it.
Oh.
Not only that.
It's great.
Not only that, I hope tonight there's more of it with the other one. The Giants. I hope they get it, too.
New Jersey football has been in a bad place for a long time with those two teams, that's for sure. The Eagles beat the Bengals 37-17. No doubt about it for the Eagles. Close game for a while, but then the Eagles started pulling away in the second half. Huge day for Jalen Hurts as, yes, he did get 3 touchdowns on the ground, but how about this one up top, 45 yards to Devonta Smith on CBS to put him ahead for good.
Second down and 8 here for the Eagles. Fake it to Barkley. Hurts sets, throws, looking for the home run ball. End zone! Devonta Smith! Touchdown! Over the shoulder! Spectacular!
The Bengals are awful, too. I'm sick of hearing about the Bengals. I literally heard him. I don't know. We're not running the clip. I heard him say, we're going to win 7 of 9, Joey Silk. And I'm sick of hearing about Joey Silk and the Bengals. They suck, too. And you know what? The Browns' season was already over before Famous Jameis took over. There's no way they're winning anything in that division. They're not getting a wild card. And the Bengals aren't either. And the only two teams that matter are the Ravens and the Steelers. And the Ravens lost yesterday. And then the Steelers play tonight. So the Bengals and Browns and all their fans can kiss my ass. You know it. You know you're done. You're done. You're not winning anything. You're not winning anything. You're not getting a wild card. Your girlfriend doesn't even want to sleep with you. Ever. Not even once a month. Not even once a month are you getting it. You're done. Season over. Now it's just have fun with Famous Jameis with his interviews. That's all that's left. That's it. And the Bengals, I've been hearing about it. You know what? The Bengals and Jets should be lovers because I hear about how, the Bengals are so loaded with talent. Oh, my God. They're so good at 3-5. You suck.
You sent me the Burrow after the submission deadline, so I was saving it for tomorrow for a Laugh Out Loud Tuesday.
Tomorrow. We'll laugh tomorrow.
A Laugh Out Loud Tuesday on Coast to Coast with that Burrow clip talking about how, we just go 7 out of 9. I mean, that's not it's not a big deal. It's fine.
It's doable. Let's do it.
It's doable. So that's for Laugh Out Loud Tuesday.
Awful. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. Did you see the Eagles run the ball down their throats? And I got to tell you something. Philadelphia is starting to play some good football. And
I agree.
I can't stand their coach. But I got to tell you, Barkley, Hurts, Brown, and Smith, when they're playing, the four of them, they're hard to beat.
They are very hard to beat indeed. I loved the Eagles yesterday. It was one of my favorites, and thank God they came through in a big way. I agree with that. The Cardinals are starting to maybe be a playoff team in the NFC as well. For the second week in a row, they rally and get a walk-off field goal. This time it was down in Miami against the Dolphins. It looked like This game was over. They get fourth quarter touchdowns from Marvin Harrison Jr. and James Conner, and then they drive the field. Chad Ryland doing it again on Fox.
From 34. He is nails again. For the third time as a Cardinal, Chad Ryland says good night.
Yeah, and they're 4-4, and Cannon's doing a great job. And, you know, the focus was on Tua Tagovailoa and the fact that he was back, that the Dolphins were going to be on their way. Same old story, Dolphins lose. The Dolphins stink.
Same old story, Dolphins lose. They are now 2-5 in the AFC, and kind of along the same lines as what you were talking about with Burrow. Here's Tua. Of course, the talk was that he's back. He says, oh, there's plenty of time left.
I think there's always time, brother. It's always time. 17 games.
No, there isn't.
It's a long time. A lot of games. So
whether we're
counted out or we're not, doesn't matter. We're going to continue to play football. A lot of people in here know that I don't know how many years ago we started out 1-7. We didn't have half the guys that we have, and no disrespect to my other teammates, but I'm talking about the talent that we have here. We didn't have half that talent, however many years ago. And so to give that group respect, we won the next 8 games. And I'm not saying, you know, we're going to do that or whatnot, but it is possible. Anything's possible. So we're going to continue to trust each other, lean on each other, believe in each other, and we're going to go do it next week.
Well, they are in Buffalo next Sunday to take on the Bills, who are now 6-2 after smashing Seattle yesterday on the road. Bills are playing some good football. So is Coleman right now, too. They're playing some good football, the Bills.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, our guy Cody Decker of Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM has been talking baseball playoffs with us since the jump. And I got to tell you, Cody, I'm stressed out. As you know, as a Yankee fan, Friday and Saturday, you know, that ruined my weekend. So, I mean, I was drunk and I just am not, I am just not feeling good about things. And I got to tell you, I thought it was the most harebrained decision I ever saw in my life to put a guy in that hasn't pitched in 2 months with a bad elbow to face Freeman. I have seen it all in my life. I've never seen anything so stupid. And I just don't think he'll ever live it down.
It's funny you say that because that wasn't even the decision that bothered me that he made. Listen, the Nestor Cortez decision was a bad decision. I would have gone with Tim Hill 10 out of 10 times, and here's why. If you're going to face Shohei Ohtani on the one at bat, which they already kind of let us all know the game plan with Shohei Ohtani, if they're going to have a one at bat setup like that, they're going to go to Nestor Cortez against Shohei Ohtani. The problem was there was one out, so if you're banking on Nestor Cortez getting a double play ball from Shohei Ohtani, then that's stupid because the rule states if you bring in a pitcher, he has to face three batters. So no matter what, if Shohei Ohtani doesn't ground into a double play, he's got to deal with Mookie Betts and then Freddie Freeman. And quite frankly, the only reason he dealt with Freddie Freeman in that situation was because of the mistake made by Alex Verdugo. Alex Verdugo made an incredible catch over to the left side of the field, and then he throws the ball from out of play, thus rendering the ball out of play, which means the base runners get to advance a base. You got an open base at first base. You put on Mookie Betts 10 out of 10 times, and you have no choice but to pitch to Freddie Freeman. And at that point, you're kind of screwed no matter what happens. It should have been Tim Hill in that spot, but quite frankly, never should have gotten there because the mistake that Aaron Boone made on Friday night is a mistake that I simply can't get my head around. How in the hell do you take out Gerrit Cole at 88 pitches while he is cruising through the Dodgers lineup and quite frankly was going to get the win by himself? Should not have happened. There's a reason you're paying Gerrit Cole $325 million, and that was the mistake that, in my opinion, really cost the Yankees in that game.
No doubt, bro. Honestly. And then when they lost, and I had to sit there and watch that travesty, I just knew Saturday was going to be an abortion. I just knew it. I was like, yeah, oh, dude. The whole weekend. You know, the last time they went out there, they lost the first two as well. The minute he hit it, I was like, well, Saturday's gone now. Cooked. And sure enough, they lost.
And I was feeling it, too. Right going into that game, here's the thing. I had a feeling I was leaning towards the Dodgers. I saw the matchup between Rodon and Yamamoto. I'm going to pick Yamamoto in that matchup 10 out of 10 times, period, stop. He went 6-1 in innings, and Dave Roberts told us that he was going to ride him. Once again, Dave Roberts having no problem telling you the game plan and saying, go ahead and beat us, and you can't do it. But I'm going to make you feel better today, Scotty. This is my goal, my dream in life. I think the Yankees are winning today. I think Walker Buehler is not going to have himself a lightning strikes twice type of outing like he did against the Mets. I think he gets through the lineup the first time in the first 2 to 3 innings. After that, the second time through the lineup, I'm a little worried about Walker Buehler. And if that happens, that is huge for the Yankees. And I'll tell you why, because we already know that Tuesday is going to be a bullpen game for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Walker Buehler has been a shell of himself all year. If the Yankees can get to Walker Buehler out by the third or fourth inning, then you basically turn this game into a bullpen game. You're taxing the Dodgers bullpen arms two of the first games on the road. That is huge. I think the Yankees have a real opportunity to even the series over the next 2 days if they play their cards right.
Oh, God. I hope you're right. I had open heart surgery. My chest is getting tight. Mafia, get the tequila and my pills. So have you ever in your life seen a superstar suck as bad as Judge? And I hate to say it because I'm scared he'll go out and hit a bunch of home runs and drive in a bunch of runs and he'll break out of it. But have you ever seen anything worse than what this guy's going through for a superstar?
Only one time, and that was Alex Rodriguez, basically until he had his 2009 World Series year. He was always a trouble in October. He could never get the bat on the ball. He kind of just disappeared. But Judge has been a no-show, period, stop. You can't deny it. Quite frankly, if Judge doesn't start hitting, the Yankees don't win the World Series. I'm not even counting today. I'm giving today a leeway. I don't think Judge is going to hit today. And it's driving me nuts. I don't care if Judge hits the home runs or the doubles or the singles. Dude, take a walk. Get on base. Stop swinging at everything that's thrown due north.
I mean, honestly, he's swinging like he's at the driving range.
It's been legit brutal.
And you just keep swinging and hitting golf balls and you never stop until you're like cracked out. That's what he's swinging at. He's swinging at every. I have never seen a guy. He's missing by 2 feet, Cody.
Dude, it's like he's playing on a different field right now. That's how far off Aaron Judge is. But here's the thing. He's still got that George Foreman thing. Even Aaron Judge at his very worst has got that puncher's chance. You make a mistake, the ball's going to go a very, very long way. The Dodgers have just made no mistakes to him, and you can tell what their game plan is. Their game plan is get Aaron Judge out, and we'll deal with the rest. Because there is a steep drop-off towards the bottom half of that lineup compared to the Dodgers, where there is seemingly no drop-off to that lineup. So the Dodgers have multiple edges in this entire series, with the exception of starting pitching. And I think tonight is the chance for the Yankees to actually show that to be a glaring subject.
But honestly, like, dude, Buehler looked great at Citi Field. Oh, now it's going to be cooler tonight. And I think he's certainly more dangerous with his drop. The ball, he can make it drop too, like it's hot. And you can't tell me he's not better than Clark Schmidt. That's my problem there. And then secondly, now look, I think Clark Schmidt's been good. But Buehler is a big game guy. And then the other thing is, what did you think of them throwing the nugget out today that they're interested in Soto?
I think they're interested in Soto, but at the end of the day, I swear to God, I support the Dodgers and the things that they're doing. I'm the biggest Dave Roberts fan in the world. I swear to God, if the Dodgers end up with Soto, I am anti-Dodgers from this point on for the rest of my life, dude. I will be rocking yellow and brown Padre stuff like I work at UPS for the rest of my life. Yeah, dude, no. Can't happen. And I agree with you on Walker Buehler being a big game pitcher, but dude, I know he showed up against the Mets, but he's been a shell of himself since he's come back from that injury. If he does it again, I will come on your show and say that I'm wrong. But, dude, I don't think he's going to do that again.
All right. Listen, I swear to God, if they lose tonight, I'm jumping off a bridge.
It's over. Hey, it's over if they lose tonight.
I'll talk to you in the next couple of days. Let's see how it goes tonight for starters. Thanks, Cody.
My man.
All right, Cody Decker of Mad Dog Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, listen to this. My buddy, you know, the comedian, Jim Florentine, big Dolphin fan, and he's been on this show before. He writes me, he said, McDaniel's the third worst coach in football. If they get blown out by the Bills on Sunday, he'll be fired Monday. The league has figured him out, and he's not ready to be a head coach. That's what he just wrote me about his head coach, McDaniel, down in Miami. And they are going to get beat by the Bills. The Bills are good, and the Dolphins aren't.
The Bills are good, and the Bills, you know, for two reasons. One, I think that they've played a lot better than I've expected, especially after the changes that they made in the offseason. And you combine that with the fact that the rest of the division, including the Dolphins and the Jets, who were supposed to be so good this year, they all suck. So the Bills have a chance here where they can essentially have the AFC East, like, wrapped up by Thanksgiving. That's where they're, like... Like it's going to be, like, easy street for them, and they'll have December instead of sweat, you know, more for seeding than it is for actually making the playoffs. You know what? He might not be wrong about McDaniel because, you know, they were so non-competitive when Tua wasn't in there. And I think that falls a little bit on the head coach. I know you got to have a capable backup quarterback, but – and then you lose yesterday. If you lose again Sunday – maybe not in season, but I could see him, who Ross, as we know, wants to win now. It's been a long time since the Dolphins have even won a playoff game. I could see him be a little antsy if this Dolphin season gets even more off the rails, which it could absolutely this week in Buffalo.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had him tabbed a genius when he went there. He's a genius. Well, when you're a genius, you can't go if they lose 2-6. You're no genius. What you are then is your pants are on fire.
Tua says it's all right. There's lots of games left. plenty of games left. Yeah, they're going to be just fine.
And I trust what's going on inside that brain. You heard me.
The Chiefs, meanwhile, they now have themselves out to a 7-0 start in the NFL. They really just don't lose. I know that, but they didn't cover yesterday. 27-20, they beat the Raiders out in Vegas for the first time this year. They never cover, but they win. They never cover, but they win. They didn't cover again yesterday.
Travis Kelce,
they're not in the betting business. They are in the winning business, and they do plenty of that for the first time this year. Travis Kelce finding the end zone on CBS.
Surprised that they try one here.
Three tight ends, third and goal. Mahomes caught, touchdown. His first regular season touchdown reception in 13 games.
Well, he threw two finally, Mahomes. And the only thing that stood out to me, I don't know if you saw my tweet. I put out a real simple tweet. Is there any team that talks more Shaq than the Raiders when they're playing in NFL games on Sunday? They talk more Shaq than any team in the league. They got more finger pointer tough guys and, you know, in your face, throwing punches, spitting on people, talking Shaq. And yet every single week they take it in the keister. I mean, they just bend over and take it in nice and hard. And all I know is their coach sucks. They suck. They're terrible. And all I hear about, this is another team, all I hear about, you know, the Raiders. Oh, my God, what an abortion they are. They really are. For as much Shaq as they talk, they back it up never. I mean, absolutely never. They're automatic. All they do is lose. They always find a way to lose. That was more glaring to me than another Chiefs win. We're used to Kansas City winning every week. What I like watching is how the Raiders actually think they're good when the whole game they talk so much Shaq, you'd think they'd won 40 in a row, and they never win, ever. Just win, baby, my effing ass. Honest to Christ. They're embarrassing. Well, they really are. Vegas, enjoy your pro football team. They suck.
That is the tough guy persona that Antonio Pierce wants the team to have. He wants them to be very tough guy. Raider football out there. They are
Whatever.
The Steelers didn't even try,
and they put 32 on them.
Bad football team, having a very bad year, 2-6.
And he's an awful coach. He's a phony. What a phony he
awful
is.
Awful coach. Awful coach. That's another one.
Him. I would.
This is another one. It's going to end up being a bad hire. You know, they kept him after they finished pretty strong as an interim, and
he'll
it's going
to
end up being
to pay back his bankruptcy, $28 million he owes for all the car dealerships that have failed.
He's never paying that back. He's never going to pay it back. Never.